Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, good morning, Calvary. Thank you so much for having me today. It is such a treat to be back with you in this capacity. For those of you I haven't met, my name is Heather Roman. I'm the pastor of worship and the pastor of administration here at Calvary. And I have to tell you that this church is very, very important to me. This is the church where I dedicated my life to Christ. This is the church where I met my husband. This is the church where we had our children and dedicated our three children and brought them up here. This is the church where I have found my calling and a place to use my gifts, and I'm just really excited to be with you today. I want to thank Pastor Steve for this opportunity to speak to you as we walk through this incredible Lord's Prayer together. I don't know about you, but I have been gleaning something every single week as we've been walking through this incredible chapter of Matthew 6 together, and all of the various pastors and all that they've been sharing has been so powerful. So today we find ourselves in verse 12 of Matthew 6. It's just one sentence, but it's broken into two phrases. And I have to tell you, each of those phrases is really life-changing. Each one of them has eternal impact. So let's read that together. Matthew 6:12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So today we're obviously going to be talking about forgiveness, and I have to tell you, it's a tough subject. It doesn't lend itself to a lot of lightheartedness. There's no fun bread puns like Pastor Mark had last week. There's no adventurous fun stories like Pastor Vince often has, and I don't have a cute baby or a cute toddler right now like Pastor Brad is so blessed to have, so I can't show you pictures and tell you stories about them, although I do have three grown and almost grown children, so I could show you pictures of them when they were toddlers, but they probably wouldn't appreciate that, so I won't do that today. However, what we do have today is we have this book that we know as the Bible, and it is cover to cover a story about forgiveness and love. So if you don't mind, let's jump right into the scripture and have a look at it. We're going to break it into those two phrases and look at them individually and see what the Lord has for us today. So looking at that first phrase in Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts. What exactly do we mean? What do we mean when we're talking about our debts? Because today when we use the word debt, we're talking about a financial debt where we've extended ourselves beyond our resources and someone else has to step in and cover that gap for us. But what Jesus is referring to here isn't money. What he's referring to here is a moral debt. We refer to it most often as sin. And sin, by definition, is a wrongdoing. It's a moral failure. It's something that's offensive to God. It could be a lie. It could be a theft. It could be a dishonoring. It could be an unfaithfulness in our lives. It could be an idol. The Greek word that we most often translate as sin means to miss the mark. So there was something we were aiming for, and we've missed it. In Hebrew, the word sin is most often translated to transgress or to offend or to go astray. So Jesus, in this verse, is teaching his disciples to ask God for forgiveness of those wrongdoings, to take care of that gap that's a result of where they wanted to go and where they actually ended up, and to clear that ledger of what they would owe the Lord. You know, I loved what Pastor Vince did a few weeks ago. He drew us a picture of the Garden of Eden and the kingdom of God. He took us back to that place where humankind fell, where sin actually originated amongst people. And that garden was where Adam and Eve had full access to God and lived in perfect harmony. But they made a choice, and that choice led to a loss of innocence. It led to them being separated from God. That choice opened the door for sin to enter the world. And that sin, that moral debt, is what continues our separation from between God and us. So I want to show you something really quickly that's really kind of beautiful. If you would read with me in Genesis 3, we'll see why Jesus taught his disciples to make this request when they pray. Let's look at the second part of verse 5 all the way through to verse 9. And this is right after Eve and the serpent have had their conversation and the serpent has tempted her. Okay, starting in the second half, Genesis 3:5. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together for coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and said, "Where are you?" Okay, so just a second. Well, what did God say? These individuals have just changed the course of humankind. They've just made the greatest mistake they could possibly have made. And he didn't say, "What were you thinking?" or "What is wrong with you?" All he said was, "Where are you?" Because as soon as they realized what they had done, they were ashamed. They were ashamed of themselves, and they covered themselves up, and they ran, and they hid. And so he had to ask, "Where are you?" And this is what I wanted to show you. He did not want to be separated from them. He did not want them to separate themselves from him. He wanted to be near them. He wanted to speak to them. He wanted that beautiful relationship of perfect harmony to continue. We just sang about that this morning, that image of the Father waiting for the prodigal son, and how our Heavenly Father just waits for us with arms open to be reunited with us. He created us to dwell with him, to be in his presence, and he longs for us to be in that relationship with him today. It was very unfortunate. Once Adam and Eve did come forward, they had their conversation with God, he had to allow the consequences of their actions to unfold. He could not be in the presence of someone or something that was no longer pure or holy. Anything unrighteous had to be removed from his presence. And even so, God immediately established a plan to allow people to gain access back to him, to restore their relationship with him on an ongoing, regular basis. So let's have a look at that plan now through scripture, that plan that deals with our sin and gets us to the place of being able to confidently ask God to forgive us. Okay, let's start in Romans 3:23. It says, "We have all fallen short of the glory of God and of his perfection." Verse 10 in that same chapter 3 says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." So those are very clear statements. We are obviously not perfect, we are not righteous, and we have fallen short. Okay, so once we understand that, we are sinful creatures. What's next for us? Well, in Romans 6:23 is an understanding of what that cost is of that sin. What's next for us is to understand what our sin costs us. And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So in other words, the result of our sin is not life, it is not being in the presence of God, but it is death and separation from the source of life itself, which of course is God. But the second part of that very same verse, the second part is the good news part of the plan. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." And eternal life is with God. It is in his presence. It is back with him in that harmonious relationship, just like Adam and Eve had experienced originally. So how do we get from falling short to eternal life? Well, we know that God put a system in place. It was a system at that time of rules and of sacrifice for people to come back to him on a regular basis and make atonement for their sin. And Hebrews 9:22 tells us that in that system, the shedding of blood was required for forgiveness to take place. And without the shedding of blood, the forgiveness was not granted. So to be true to his covenant and the promises that God had with his people, there had to be a significant sacrifice, a significant shedding of blood in order to cover the sins of mankind from that point forward. And that is where we find probably the best known scripture of all time, which of course is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." He gave his son for what? He gave his son to be that ultimate sacrifice. The giving of Jesus and the death of Jesus was so significant. It was such a significant shedding of blood that it covered the sin of all mankind from that point forward. Wow. So we know now that Jesus has died for us. That took place about 2,000 years ago. And the word tells us that all that is required now, now that Jesus has made that sacrifice for us, is a belief in him, a confession of our sins, and a repentance of our sins. And if we are sincere in these things, I'll tell you what, God is faithful, and he is true to his word, and he will forgive us. John 1:9 lays it out perfectly. It says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Scripture tells us he does this because of his compassion for us, his mercy for us, his love for us, and his grace for us. And we know, of course, that he wants to be near us. He doesn't want us covering up and running away and hiding. He wants that beautiful, life-giving relationship to continue. So those of us that have experienced this, we understand the freedom and the peace and the absence of heaviness that forgiveness brings. I remember my own salvation experience. I was only about 16 or 17, and my family packed me up and sent me on a youth retreat with a bunch of people I did not know. That was absolutely terrifying, to be really honest. I had met a couple of my peers, but I really didn't know anybody. And in that weekend, God grabbed my attention. You see, I had heard the gospel before, but I wasn't walking with the Lord. I didn't attend church. We didn't go to church as a family. It's not somewhere where I grew up. And so this concept of love and forgiveness was totally, totally foreign to me. But in that weekend, as I said, God grabbed my attention and he changed my life. I experienced that exchange between confession and repentance and peace and grace. It was such a beautiful, beautiful experience. I describe it like I felt like I was shedding, you know, like a pet does, but shedding like shame and shedding guilt and shedding a deep, deep hurtful remorse that really, I suppose, really was guilt. And I let all of that go, and in exchange there was that absence of that weight. It was very peaceful and life-giving, and I'm very, very grateful to the Lord for that. It was very powerful, and it was permanent. It was a permanent change in my life. It completely changed the trajectory of my life altogether, and I'm so grateful for my relationship with him. But just because the change in my life was permanent did not mean that I was exempt from sin, that I was therefore perfect. Of course, we continue to sin and make mistakes. We continue to walk in things we wish we hadn't. And so this fallen world that we live in requires us to go back to the Lord again and again, to ask for forgiveness, to repent, and to allow him to forgive us. And Jesus knew that, and that's exactly why he included this in his prayer that he was teaching his disciples. He knew it was so important for them to understand that they would need to connect with him day after day after day and make sure that the relationship was in full restoration and in right standing. And he knew that 2,000 years later, we would need to understand the same thing, that we would need to go back to him again and again and make sure that we are in right standing with him and our relationship is thriving with him. Our imperfection and our humanity carries with it that need for forgiveness and the need for the freedom that forgiveness brings us, as well as a need to forgive other people around us because they are equally imperfect, aren't we? I mean, look around you. If there are people sitting with you now, we are all equally imperfect. And that brings us to the second part of that same verse, Matthew 6:12, and it says, as we forgive our debtors. So forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us, or forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Or most of us grew up saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay, I looked at every translation I could find and they all say the same thing. So I have a question here. And that question is, okay, wait a minute, what? God forgives us because of his grace and his mercy. There can't be a disclaimer on his forgiveness, can there? Like an asterisk or small print, must forgive others, really tiny print. Well, I have to tell you, no, there is no small print here. It is actually often largely printed and in bright red. These are the words of Jesus himself. God forgive us as we forgive others. This is not something we can skim over or ignore. In fact, in the same chapter, Matthew 6, just a few verses later, Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." Okay, that hurts a little. Only because we know that sometimes forgiving other people is hard. So let's just look at this one more time. Read with me the very end of Ephesians 4 and the beginning of Ephesians 5. And it kind of walks us through moving from unforgiveness to forgiveness, if you will. So read with me. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." So what we see in these verses is in forgiveness what we are giving up. We're giving up the bitterness. We're giving up the anger. We're giving up the malice and the ill thought. And what are we choosing to do? We're choosing to be kind. We're choosing to be compassionate. We're choosing to forgive. We're choosing to walk in the way of love. And this example that Jesus has for us is also laid out here, because in Christ, God forgave us. And just as Christ loved us, he gave himself up for us. You know, there is no one exempt from being hurt, and there is no one exempt from hurting someone else. And as believers, we need to remember, we are not exempt from following Jesus in this example. We're not exempt from giving up our preferences the way that he did. He gave up, you know, he said, "Lord, take this cup from me. If there's another way, can we do this another way? But your will, Lord, be done, not mine." You know, he gave up his personal preferences. He gave up his pride. The way he died was really undignified. And in doing all of that, he extended incredible grace to people all around him. And we need to do the same thing. We need to give up our preferences. We need to lay down our pride and extend that beautiful grace to other people. Now, please let me say one very important thing before we move on. You know, as we've said, every human being has experienced hurt. But some of us have experienced a level of wounding that is entirely different and outside of the realm of normal daily life. There'll be people today hearing this that have experienced tragedy, atrocities, things that we would call atrocious, things that are entirely unjust and are just not okay. And in those instances, it's not as simple of a process as maybe forgiving a friend or a family member for saying something that hurt our feelings. It's much more, it's deeper than that. It actually feels more like walking through heart surgery, where you need to be surrounded by people that know what they're doing, that are supportive, and have the skills to help you walk through the process. So if that is you, and you have not had a chance to deal with something significant in your life, I have a question for you this morning, and it's just a simple question of, you know, is it time? Is 2022 maybe the year for you to start walking through the process of freeing yourself from this weight that you're carrying? If it is, you know, as pastors, we're here to listen and to pray with you, to give you biblical advice. And we have lots of connections with, you know, registered clinical counselors, professionals that know how to walk you through step by step, walk you through that healing process no matter how long it takes. If you want to be released from that and leave something in your past and move forward with your life, we are here for you. Okay, this is so important. I just don't want anything else that I say today to sound callous to anybody that's gone through incredibly difficult things. In terms now of normal daily life, we know everybody's been hurt, everybody's been offended. I'm sure some of you have faced this over the course of the pandemic. The pandemic was ripe with opportunity to be hurt or to hurt other people, hopefully by accident. And maybe even this Christmas that just passed, maybe something happened in your family. I think most of us were really looking forward to what we would call a normal Christmas. But health orders did change, and some people, you know, got sick and plans had to be changed. And in the midst of families shuffling plans, I know that a number of people got hurt. I know that we went through that, you know, amongst our extended family. And I'll be honest with you, as a family, we largely avoided. We kind of dodged a lot of family drama through the pandemic. Lots of grace and understanding, you know, in our extended family, and it's been really a great experience working together through a very difficult few years. But this Christmas, I don't know, maybe I was overtired, but something happened, and I'll confess, I got really hurt. I remember feeling things I didn't want to feel. I felt maybe a little unwanted. You know, maybe we'd been disregarded, you know, our branch of the family, a little bit unimportant. And it didn't feel great, I'll be honest. I didn't like how it felt. And yet I still wallowed, you know, for a bit. I wallowed in those feelings. But of course, I came to that point where I realized I had a decision to make. And I call it that to be or not to be decision. To be loving or not to be loving. To be forgiving or not to be forgiving, to extend grace or to withhold it, to walk in the way of love or not. And in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit say, Heather, if you forgive, you open the door for God to forgive you. You can let this go. You don't have to live with this tension anymore. You don't have to live under the weight of this. You will be able to see those folks with the love that God has. You will be able to see them as God sees them and love them just as they are. And you'll be free from that. And I knew on the other hand, if I didn't, I would continue to live in that tension. I would carry that weight with me. And you know, that tension and that weight and that unforgiveness, it grows into bitterness. And bitterness is an ugly thing. Bitterness does funny things to us. It can affect our sleep, it can affect our health, it can affect our mind. There is a filter we tend to see people through. You might know what I'm referring to. It's like a mistrust or even an anger. And everything they say and do, we kind of see through that filter. And it's just not good for us. And I knew I didn't want that for myself. And I made the choice in the presence of God to forgive. And it's so interesting. You know, in that moment, that recognition of when I forgive someone, I release them, yes. And then a lot of times maybe people don't know. Maybe they don't know that they've hurt you, and you can forgive them and just release them from that. But really, the benefits of forgiving something largely fall on the one that's doing the forgiving. That is a lightness and a peace that is so hard to articulate that when you forgive someone, it's like a gift from God to you. So when you find yourself at that crossroads of making that decision, that to be or not to be type decision, I really encourage you, please remember that God has promises. He's waiting to really bless you in essence. When you forgive someone, he can forgive you. And when you forgive someone, you get to experience that sort of absence of heaviness. One of my favorite all-time favorite scriptures is actually a story of family forgiving family. And it comes from the story of Joseph. So if you're not familiar with Joseph's life, go back to the first book in the Bible in Genesis. Start in about chapter 37 or so and read through all the way to about chapter 50. And it sounds like a lot of chapters, but it's such a fascinating story. It'll move really quickly. In short, out of jealousy, what happened to Joseph was his brothers were super jealous of him. And they kidnapped him, they hid him from his father. They actually threw him in a pit, like an empty well. And then they bickered amongst themselves as to whether or not they should kill him. And they decided, no, a better idea to get rid of him would be to sell him. And so they did that. They sold him to people that were traveling through town and heading to a completely different country. And many, many, many years later, through all sorts of crazy circumstances, these brothers and Joseph were reunited again. And Joseph, in that moment, extended incredible grace. In Genesis chapter 50, in verse 20, he said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And he forgave them. Joseph had not forgotten what his brothers had done in that moment, but he still forgave them. He wasn't standing there thinking, did I get thrown into that pit or did I jump in? Did I get sold or did I offer to go? No, he knew exactly. He knew exactly what his brothers had done. And yet he made a choice to let that go and to not let that experience and to not let his past have any control over what he was doing with his life at that time. He was living his life according to God's will and God's will only, and that's all that mattered to him. So another thing for us to remember is let's not fall into the trap of believing that forgiving is forgetting. It is not the same thing. But the act of forgiving someone is the choice of leaving those actions or those words behind you and looking forward and seeing your life the way that God wants you to live it. May I just add one more thing before we leave this point? And that may be that some of you here today are thinking to yourselves, okay, I actually feel like I need to ask somebody else to forgive me. Maybe there's something I've done that I need to make right. And so I encourage you, just go for it. It doesn't have to be perfectly worded. It doesn't have to be super eloquent. It might even feel a little bit awkward, but that's okay. A very simple, please forgive me for, will suffice. You can let them know, I regret doing that. I wish I hadn't said that, and I really don't want to do that again. It's such an effective way to begin to restore a relationship. It's such an effective way to just make something right that you know needs to be made right. Just like we do with the Lord, we go back to him day after day and say, Lord, I just want to make this right with you. Okay, so then, if we have an understanding of God's forgiveness of us, and we have an understanding of our forgiveness of other people, I have just one more short question for you to ask as I close today. And that question is, what about forgiving ourselves? What about those things that we beat ourselves up for, the things that the enemy loves to remind us of? What do we do with those? I believe it comes back to that incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for us. In Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. So really the question is, if Jesus went through all that he went through for our sake to be our ultimate sacrifice, to grant us forgiveness and to provide us freedom, then why would we not run towards that freedom that he offers us? Why would we hold on to things that bind us and weigh us down, things that we're not proud of? Why would we hang on to those? In the same way that you can extend grace to other people, you can extend grace to yourselves. Make that choice to forgive yourself, to let go, and just walk in that abundant life that he so desires for us. You know, this can be done privately in prayer. But this can also be done maybe with an accountability partner. That's basically just another way of saying, bring a friend along with you as you journey through some things. Perhaps there's someone that you know that you trust, that you're close to, someone that knows the Lord. I bet they would be very happy to walk through something with you, do some life with you, pray with you, check in on you. And they probably have something that they want to work on this year too, and you guys can help each other out and hold each other accountable throughout the course of the year. Okay, we have covered a lot of ground today, Calvary. So let's close this time together by praying together. If you would you close your eyes? And I encourage you to lower your head and let's allow the Lord a minute here to speak to us and work in us. Heavenly Father, you are holy and all powerful and all glory belongs to you. We thank you for being our provider and are granting us salvation by your grace. And so right now, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. We humbly come, we know we've fallen short, and we ask you to forgive our words and our actions that are sinful and that are not of you. We thank you, God, that you are forgiving us even right now. Lord, we ask you for your strength. Help us, God, to make the right decision and to follow you and to forgive other people. Right now in this moment, Lord, I pray that you will minister to us and show us, God, where we need to extend that grace. In Jesus' name, I ask you will be with us as we grant forgiveness to those around us. Would you also, Lord, be the provider of the courage we need to step out and ask somebody else for forgiveness? Bring them to mind, Lord, and help us to take that freeing step in that relationship. And for those of us, God, that are wrestling to forgive ourselves, will you help us walk in the freedom and abundant life that you so desire for us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for walking through all of this with us. We remain open to your work in us in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.